Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Burt Show.
I think it's safe to say when you're about to purchase a home that the current homeowner that's trying to sell this house is not going to say to you, hey, just want to let you know the house is haunted before you buy it. Keep that one to themselves, right? And I think legally, they don't have to volunteer anything unless you ask.
Do they have to disclose that somebody died in the house?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think only if you ask.
So if you are looking at homes, you can have a list and be like, every single home you walk into, be like, is this home haunted? Did anybody die in this house? So if you ask, then you have to get, because I grew up in a house that somebody died in. I didn't realize it until later.
I wouldn't even know. And I want to know.
Did you feel anything ever?
No, never
looking
did.
Back, no.
I mean, we had like, and I think it was like a mass print, so I don't know how many people had this hanging up in their home, but it was like this little boy blue in a blue suit or whatever, and that picture was hanging in the room where the person had died in the house, and you felt like it was just one of those paintings where, like, no matter where you moved in the room, the eyes, like, were staring at you. I hated that damn thing. Like, hated it. But I don't think it had anything to do with the person that died in the house.
So Mandy here called us, and she said she's moved into this home, and there's some weird things happening in the house now, and she wanted us to reach out to the former owner and say, hey, was this stuff happening when you owned the house also? Like, the dog has been staring off into space. She's been hearing, like, creaking in the floors, doors opening and closing. What else am I missing?
Just being overall spooky.
Spooky. She can feel
the presence. Yeah.
She can't see it, but she can feel it. What are you showing us?
Little boy blue.
Okay.
that looks creepy.
For real. Uh-huh. Oh yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah,
that belongs next to a haunted doll collection.
Yeah, probably had a couple of those too.
All right, Mandy, so you wanted answers. By the way, why didn't you just reach out to the owner of the house, and why did you have us do it?
I don't know. I just felt a little weird about reaching out. Because my husband already thinks that my mind is just playing tricks, and I didn't know the previous owners, and I don't know. I just was afraid to contact them.
Okay. Either way. So Tommy, our show director, did just that. Tommy, you want to take it from here?
Yeah, I reached out, but I wasn't 100% truthful. I told them that we were doing a segment on haunted houses, and I didn't say exactly who this was for.
I like your tactic. And this is a 100-year-old house, so it's perfectly plausible to reach out to them.
They're going
to
find out now because their reply was, hey, Tommy, I love your show. So, hey.
Dang it.
They said, I'm actually a bit in shock to even get this email. It's so funny that you're asking about our old house. We were just talking about it and how much we miss it. It was no secret to our friends and family that we love that house despite some of the weird occurrences. So I'm not surprised that someone suggested you contact us. I'd love to know who, just out of curiosity. It was Mandy. Without boring you too much, let me take you on a bit of a journey through the house's history as well as our time there. The house, as you might already know, was built in the late 19th century, 1894 to be exact.
Oh, wow.
It has been home to several families over the years, each adding their own layers of history and charm to the property. The architecture still holds traces of the Victorian era, which lends to an old world charm that we always loved. During our time in the house, there were indeed some occurrences that might be described as peculiar. There were instances where we'd hear soft footsteps or what sounded like a muffled conversation from the next room when no one else was home. I can't count how many times we misplaced our keys or other small items, only to find them in the most unusual places. On occasion, we'd catch fleeting movements from the corner of our eyes, like someone just passing by. And on particularly cold nights, certain rooms would have an unexplainable chill, despite the heating being on. Our dog would sometimes growl at seemingly empty corners at something we couldn't see. And despite these odd occurrences, we never felt threatened or unsafe. We came to view these as characteristics of an old house. We'd often joke about our friendly ghost giving it credit for any odd occurrence. It was a part of living in a house that held centuries of stories within its walls. But one thing we did notice was that whenever we respected the house, kept it clean, looked after, and made it feel loved and lived in, these occurrences seemed to lessen. We often attributed this to the spirit of the house being content with its care. So, I don't know if our old home is haunted or not, but we sure did love it.
So you've got some spirits in there that are a little OCD, and they do not like if it's just a little bit messy, Mandy. So they're pretty much telling you exactly what you already knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Are you okay with that?
I'm definitely freaked out, but I'm reassured that nothing crazy happened, and I can tell my husband that I'm not the only one that experienced this. I'm not crazy.
Yeah, we can actually send you this email so you can show your husband, because he's not going to want to believe it. But if you can live with knowing that there are spirits in that house, then it's fine if you keep it clean.
Keep it clean.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. I'd really appreciate that.
All right, Mandy. Thank you for hitting us up.
Thank you.
See you now.
The Burt Show.
You guys, I have to share this DM that I got from a Burt Show listener right before we left for vacation, because I know it felt really crazy at the time, but this is really, really effective. You remember when I came in and I told you that my fiance and my fiance's daughter were listening to a Mel Robbins podcast? You love Mel Robbins.
I do. I've followed her for a while now, and she gives the most solid advice. She's a great motivational speaker.
And she's a therapist too, I think, also. So it's kind of a convoluted story, but she was saying that in order to calm the negative voices in your head, give them an actual name, right? And when they start to talk crap to you, literally name them and tell them to shut up.
She gives you like literal tools that you feel that you feel like a tool using, like the high five project she has, where literally in the morning, the first thing you do is you look in the mirror and you give yourself a high five. And it's a whole mindset shift. So the things that she tells you are very literal, but can have an impact on how you look at yourself and how you treat others day to day.
So I told you guys that when Eliza, I'll just call her my stepdaughter from now on. Can I do that? Even though I mean,
you guys have been engaged for like 2 years now. Yeah, you should have been doing it for the past 2 years.
Okay. Stepdaughter. She tried it, and I forget what she named her negative voice, but when she did it, I told you guys she took 16 seconds mm-hmm. off of her time, her lap time in a pool. Now, 16 seconds is huge, right?
A lot of time.
And when she continued to do that, she continued to get better and better and better in her swim meet. So it really worked for her. So using that as an example, I've been doing it. And then I came in and these guys did it for 24 hours also. And while it does sound kind of ridiculous in your head to be yelling at this negative voice, I find it really effective for a couple of different things. It sort of red flags you, like how much crap you're starting to talk to yourself with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't even realize the negative self-talk until you like start to notice it.
Somebody's voice was so loud that they couldn't be silenced.
Oh yeah, Patricia tried to negotiate with me. Me and Patricia still have some work to do, for sure.
There is no negotiation. You have to loudly say, and you can even do it out loud if you want to, like, shut up, Troy, or shut up, Trevor, or whatever it is, right? Whenever you see yourself in the mirror and you don't like what you see, then don't attribute the negative self-talk to you. Do it as the person that's talking crap in your head. So I get this DM, and I just wanted to share it with you guys because it's really effective, and if you want to try it with your kids, you might have the same results. And I'm going to change the names here because I'm not exactly sure this listener wants their story to be told publicly. So it said, Bert, A segment you brought to the show last week has changed mine and my family's whole way of thinking for the better. And you know she's serious because she used capital letters and three exclamation points.
Okay, come on now.
She's serious.
You bet. You talked about a Mel Robbins strategy about naming the voice in your mind that speaks all of your negative self-talk. You explained how we should name that voice and tell it to shut up for exclamation points. In our loudest voice, I told my 10 and 7-year-old girls about this and about how I'm using it as well. We all love this and have been using it regularly. I wanted you to know that my 10-year-old, I won't say her name, has a friend at school who was feeling really down yesterday. He was telling her how he thought he was ugly. She said, okay, first, you're not ugly, but more than that, let me tell you about something we heard on the Burt Show. She explained the whole concept, and long story short, her friend named his negative internal voice Bob.
That's so cute.
And yelled, shut up, to Bob multiple times with a giant smile on his face. So she says, thank you guys for being so awesome. And it also said, this has made a huge difference in our lives and inadvertently in the lives of others. If kids can start this strategy early, they will be much healthier adults. Thanks for sure. And thanks again.
Aww. And thanks to Mel Robbins for coming up with it.
Look, I'm telling you, you will feel absolutely, did you feel absolutely ridiculous for the 24 hours you did it?
Yes. Yeah. In the beginning, like towards the end, once you start to see that it works, I think you feel less ridiculous. But in the very beginning, yeah, I felt real ridiculous.
And so did I. And so do I every single time I do it. But I find it really, really effective.
Yeah, for me, I'm still working on Patricia. We're talking about it together in therapy. We're working on a strategy on how to shut up finally, because she won't.
I would not say shut up to your therapist. That's a real person. This is just the person in your head.
Just Patricia. Yeah.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
In a deeply personal interview, Drew Barrymore revealed that she wishes her mom was gone. So according to ET, she said in an interview with Vulture.com that she cannot wait for the day to come when her mom's gone, but that she also doesn't want to live in a state of mind where she'd rather someone be gone sooner than they're meant to be. She says she wants to get to a place where she's grown enough to want her mom to be happy and thrive. So she kind of regrets saying that. She's obviously had a very notoriously strained relationship with her mom.
She said she can't wait for her mom to die?
Well, she didn't say that she can't wait for her mom to die. And I'm very specifically using the exact words that she said in that interview, because Drew actually got on Instagram yesterday and called out a lot of tabloids for using the word dead. She's like, I never said that I wanted my mom to die.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's what it sounds like. We can interpret it that way, but that's not what she said. And she was furious that tabloids said that.
And what was the quote again?
She cannot wait for the day to come when her mom's gone, but also that she doesn't want to live in a state of mind where she'd rather someone be gone sooner than they're meant to be. She said she wants to get to a place where she's grown enough to want her mom to be happy and thrive.
I think most people would interpret that as dead.
Yes.
I think, don't know the other option.
I think most would, but it's semantics.
But it's Drew Barrymore and she's a national treasure, so I believe her.
Yeah, we love Drew Barrymore. And look, I think she does regret it, because she did get on Instagram after that, after all that came out. And she said, look, it didn't feel good to say that. I'm never going to not care about her mom. So I think it's one of those things where she's like, she really spoke in the moment. She really spoke about maybe like what the deepest, darkest part of herself felt like. Like it would just be easier for her to be gone. And she's like, but I don't want her to be dead. It's just, I'm just not sure I want her a part of my life. And that's how she would like to reframe it.
Yeah, I feel like that is like a dark thought in the back of the mind, but it's not something that you actively wish every single day. It reminded me of the Jeanette McCurdy book, Glad My Mom Died.
Exactly. And it sounded like something like a hurt child would say, you know, when you're a kid and your parents really hurt you and you're like, I'm running away, I hate you, and then you go stand on the other side of the door and you don't run away, like you don't really want to run away, but you want like that little part of yourself to be heard. And I think that's probably what came out in that interview.
I literally tried that with my dad one time and he literally said, I will help you pack.
Yeah. I tried it too. I took some loaf of bread and some wrestling mitt.
Come on.
Damn serious. I went downstairs to the park and was like, yeah, this ain't gonna work.
A loaf of bread.
I took a loaf of bread, thought I was good.
And some wrestling men.
That's what I am.
That's all you needed in this
That's
world.
Made sense. How old were you at the time?
I was probably like 11.
It made sense at the time.
Something like nine, something like that.
11, you could have made it. I remember I was in kindergarten and I was like, I'm getting out of here, but I'm 5 years old and I wouldn't make it on the streets of the suburbs. It wouldn't have worked. Drew also talked a lot about her romantic life as well. She's like, after three marriages that ended, I'm done. I'm not open to being in a relationship. According to ET, she says she's, quote, genuinely tired and exhausted from it, which relatable.
I think anybody goes through that after a breakup. You're just like, I am so exhausted by all this. I am done. And that usually lasts about 8 weeks.
Well, but even when you're single, like I'm in a phase where I'm sick of this. This is bull crap. It's annoying. It's just like, where are they? Like, there's got to be someone out there who will love you, right? But she says she's in therapy right now, trying to figure out why she doesn't want one, which I thought was interesting because I know she has two young daughters and she's obviously working through this mom stuff in therapy as well. But I thought it was interesting that even though she feels exhausted by it, that she like wants to get to the bottom of it and almost fix it.
You know what I think would be really interesting if we have time? I wonder if there's anybody listening that is so committed to never being in a relationship. Now, your date, do you tell the people that you're dating right off the bat? Is there anybody that honest saying, I just want to let you know that I am not open to any kind of committed relationship whatsoever? You'll date, but just no relationship? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW.
I've done that.
You have?
Uh-huh. For I don't know how long it was, but for a window of time when I would date, I would lead with that. Like, I'm completely into dating, but I don't want anything super committed right now. It wouldn't work out for me.
God, and that just makes you so much more wanted probably
it
from a woman.
It does.
Too.
It's so messed up that it does.
I know. It's backfired on me quite a few times.
What a great strategy.
I feel like if you would have went in going like, yes, I have a plan to be married in 3 months, they would have been like,
pew! Yeah, right. You're right.
But you legitimately right off the bat say, hey, just want to let you know we're going to have a great time tonight, tomorrow night, whatever, but I am not open to a committed relationship whatsoever. And you say that right off the bat,
right,
and they stick around.
Yeah, it's surprisingly, because I always thought it would be like, oh, well, never mind, I'm out of here. I honestly don't think that ever happened one time.
You're like a wild stallion they think they can break.
100%. That's what it becomes.
Good morning, Sloan. You were on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hi. I was just listening in, and I have for 3 years been telling people I'm not willing to commit.
And has that changed their attitude at all about wanting to date you?
Yes, absolutely. You know, some men are ready for a relationship. Some aren't. I'm a single mom. I don't have time for it. I'm invested into my career. My daughter's into competitive sports. So my plate is full. And the only time I have tried, I don't have enough time for somebody. So it's kind of better for them, honestly, I think.
No, I feel you on the single parent thing for sure. I mean, your time is everybody's time is super, super precious. But you got a kid, you want to know right off the bat if somebody's going to stick it out or not. I would rather that 100% honesty.
Me too, 100%.
Yeah, at least you're upfront about it. One of the biggest reality shows of the 2000s is making another comeback. More on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
If you're one of the few where 4 hours of Burt Show is just not enough, just not enough. We got bonus content every week. This week, we just confess to you guys some of the inappropriate things we have all done in our lives. You can get that at theburtshow.com/bonusBS. It is a parenting milestone that hurts your soul, hurts your heart, and Kristen's going through it right now.
I do not view this as a milestone.
No?
To me, milestones have like a positive connotation. This is just accepting the inevitable, and it sucks. And I'm going to preface, I slept like crap last night. And when I don't get good sleep, I'm very emotional. And I am going to try my best to get through this without crying, but I am not going to make any promises because I'm about to cry right now.
Bring the tears. Bring them.
My husband and I decided to have a staycation this past week, so we didn't go anywhere. So I wanted to make the most of the time. Did a couple of things for myself. Went and got a nice massage. Went out, had a couple of breakfasts by myself. A little brunchy brunch action. I love a brunchy brunch. Just me, myself, and my poached eggs. It was lovely. But also, I made the point of cleaning out some closets. I was determined to purge some items in the house and get organized. Mm-hmm. So, man, y'all should see that playroom closet. It is pristine. The guest bedroom closet, it is glorious. The linen closet, I got rid of a lot of stuff in there that did not need to be in there.
You are living life in the fast lane.
You have no idea. Banff, what? And I started cleaning out another, like the closet underneath the stairs that's just piled up with crap. It's amazing how much crap we have that we do not need. And then there's another closet upstairs, and I walked into it, and I go, it's time. It's time to accept where I am and where we are and how hard of a road it was to get pregnant with Jimmy. And the fact, I'm going to say it out loud, the fact that I am turning 44 this month, the likelihood of me ever being pregnant again is pretty much negative zero. So it is time to get rid of all the baby stuff. So this sweet little bassinet. See, I knew this was going to happen. This sweet little bassinet that Jimmy slept in next to the bed. And I'm going to preface before I keep on going. I realize how fortunate being a member of the TTC club and having gotten pregnant doesn't make this hurt any less. And just coming to that realization, because I thoroughly enjoyed being pregnant, and the idea of being pregnant again is not something that I would shun, but I just know that that's not in the cards for us. And yes, we have talked adoption, and that is still on the table, but it would be a toddler. It wouldn't be an infant, so these items would not be of use to us. So I'm standing
bassinet gone.
So I'm standing there in the closet, and I'm looking at the bassinet that Jimmy used to sleep in next to the bed. And I'm looking at his little bouncy chair that I used to put him in. And the car seat that I brought him home from the hospital in. And I know it needs to be donated so somebody else can use it. And there is my breast pump and all the hours and the pain, but also the joy of having had that year of, you know, feeding my child. And all those memories are there. And just knowing that I'm not going to do it again. And it was just, it's a really, really tough pill to swallow. And the stuff can continue to stay there. And it sounds like, okay, well, then you're not ready to give it up. Don't give it up. But the stuff has been there for a year and a half now, right? It's been there for a year and a half because kids grow insanely fast. He's been sleeping in his crib for a while now. So, you know, we don't need the bassinet. We don't need the infant car seat. And somebody else could get wonderful use out of it because it is... It's like, oh my God, you spend so much money on this stuff and they use it for a couple months. WTF.
That's what hurts me most.
Well, Abby and I are both about 5'4". We could use the bassinet and the booster seat. We could both probably take that off your hands and use it.
And my cat could use it. I'll bring it to the office tomorrow and let you scope it out. But it was just accepting and, you know, what I learned a long time ago about grief, and this is a difficult month for me anyway, so it's very, I'm not in a great place right now. So what I learned is when it comes to grief, acceptance isn't approval. Just because you accept something doesn't mean you approve of it. So, you know, I accept the fact that I'm not going to carry another child, and I am, you know, we're not going to experience infant life again. And in some aspects, that's a good thing because that first year was really hard. But, and that I don't approve of it, but I accept it. Mm-hmm. So it's time to let these things go so I can focus on Jimmy now and what the future holds for us.
Sure.
And again, this is not to sound ungrateful for the fact that we have this beautiful child. It's just, I think any moms would understand that it's just, it's a hard chapter to let go.
it's a really big deal that you're doing this because I think the door is always open, right? So even if you're not planning, in the back of your head, you're like, maybe one day. And accepting it is officially closing that door, and you're choosing a path. You know what I mean? Like, you're just choosing. And for some people, like in your case, you're sort of being forced to choose a certain path because of circumstances out of your control. And that sucks, but it's a really big deal that you are accepting it.
So
really big.
I've moved all the stuff from upstairs to the downstairs front guest room. So there it is. It's kind of like on deck to get into the car to go to Helping Mamas, which is a nonprofit that takes gently used baby items and gives them to mothers in need. But man, when I tell you, like, and I did so good. Like, I didn't cry at the house. It was very matter of fact about the whole thing. And even with my husband. But coming on here makes me, it makes it more real in saying it out loud. You know, my body did something incredible by creating Jimmy. And it's just, it's a bummer that I'm not going to be able to do that again.
It's the Burt Show.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you got to have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else. Or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
The Burt Show.
There, my fiance was crying in the middle of our flight. I've got to talk more about this tomorrow and take calls on it. But I've seen this happen with women before, where you get like overly emotional, then you catch yourself and you're like, oh, now I know why I'm feeling this way. It's that time, right? So for whatever reason, our seats got separated on one of our flights, right? So she was sitting in one aisle in a middle seat, and they had reassigned me a middle seat in a different row, and we wanted to sit together. So
nobody's going to trade you for a middle seat, though.
That's what we thought, right? It's funny how when Tiffany asks guys to do things that they respond in a different way.
It's always
so
interesting, right?
So weird, right?
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
So she tells the dude that was in the seat next to me, you know, like, what's going on? And he was so nice about it and gave up his seat to sit in the middle. She was so touched by it, she started crying in the middle of the plane. Literally tears are coming down. She's thanking this guy, and she is crying about it. And then sits down and goes, oh my God, now I know why I'm crying about this. Gotta take calls on this tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, there is a video that is going viral right now that Mo's eyes caught, and it is absolutely infuriating, you think?
I think so, because when I saw this video on the Shade Room, I had an idea that it would go viral, but I did not realize how much the moms, all of the mothers in these comments would be wanting to throw down off of this video. So I thought it would be interesting to bring to the table. And it's a comedian.
Hold on, let me brace myself.
Take your time. Yes. If you are a mom, brace yourself.
Because you know what he's talking about.
I do, because I am in the depths of a mommy algorithm in Instagram. So this video popped up numerous times. I watched it 3 times, read through the comments myself. So proceed.
Yes. It's a comedian. Her name is Kat Stickler, and she is detailing this encounter that she had where she was in a park with her child, and there was a birthday party going on, of which her child started to become friends with some of the other children at this birthday party, and which was all cute and funny games at first. But then when it came time for the kids to have cake, well, this mom did something in particular that upset quite a few moms, and I'll let the comedian Kat take it from here.
Am I entitled, or was this messed up? 2 hours ago, literally right now, MK and I were at the park in my neighborhood, and it was us and this birthday group, right? So Literally just us and this birthday group. These kids are having their birthday party, and MK's playing them for, like, what, half an hour? They're making friends. It was nice. It was actually very cute. Time to sing happy birthday. MK goes over. She's one of the group right now, all right? They're welcoming her with open arms. Or so I thought. I was wrong. Time to eat cake. I see MK. I see her intention of grabbing a piece of cake. So I, like, walk over to make sure it's okay. As a formality, honestly, I was like, obviously it's okay. It's cake. It's a massive cake. There's lots of leftover pieces. The mother takes the plate away from MK and gets down to her level, says, you cannot eat this cake, okay? This is not your birthday party. These are not your friends. Where's your mother?
Ooh. All right, now, just to clarify, right, just if there's any wiggle room at all, there was plenty of cake for every kid at the party.
Correct.
That's what
right?
she said.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay, plenty of cake. So
imagine one of those giant sheet cakes from Publix. Mm.
So this is just one more piece of cake that certainly could have been given to this child that didn't know the rest of the group, but mom just decided now.
The only other child at the park. It wasn't like they're like you're, it's a bunch of kids. So if you give to one, you're going to have to give to 20. This was the only other child at the park at the same time as the party. The child had been playing with the other kids mm-hmm. for 30 minutes and had made friends. And in the comments, I'm getting incensed again. In the comments, it's not even about the cake. It's about the fact that she got down to the girl, little girl's level and said, these aren't even your friends.
Ooh.
Like, who says that to a child? A mother, nonetheless, that has children of her own. Like, the audacity to say something that cruel. Yes, guess what? They are friends. They've been hanging out for 30 minutes. That's how kids make friends. Kids make friends like that, and it's a beautiful thing, and I wish adults could be like that too, but they can't be because you're a bitch!
That's why I still think there should be a panel of judges that you say, hey, I want to have a kid. You got to put up scenarios like this, and if they say, if you answer correctly, they go, okay, you can have a kid.
I am so mad. She's making my eye twitch.
I get it. I get it. I can't imagine in what world, in a situation like this, you would deny a child any kind of food
at
all.
What did moms do when child was turned away, did she say?
That's what we don't know, because that's exactly how she ended the video. Ooh. I don't know if she ever did a follow-up. But
I don't think
she did anything. And there was mothers in the comments ready to go to jail if this had happened to their kid.
So the kid should have gotten the cake, 100%. But I also feel like if this were my kid, I would have stopped Hazel from trying to get a piece of cake, because I would have been like, we're not invited. It's fine for you to play.
Mm-hmm,
we're not invited to the party. I'm just saying, like, you should have given the kid the cake. You take the least, like, the route that is least harmful to the child. That's the way you go. But as the other mom, who is the mother of the outsider, quote-unquote, kid, you need to be watching your kid and making sure your kid doesn't get into other people's business.
So if I was the mother of the birthday party, before I give a child any kind of sweets or any kind of sugar, I ask the parents if it's okay. Hey, is it okay? So I would have asked the mother, hey, is it okay if she joins us for some cake? That's what I would have done. But to get to, I can picture her squatting down to this child's level, taking the cake from her hands and being like, these aren't even your friends. Ugh.
These are the kind of stories that make you hate people. You just have to remember that there are billions of people in the world that would have handled this differently.
Yeah, you're right.
Because this could really leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Insane.
Listen. It's the Burt Show.
All right, our intern Carly here, she's in a tight spot here emotionally, and she knows it. Her dad just had a baby with another woman, even though he is still married to your mom.
Ooh, yes.
Okay, let's just sit back and enjoy the ride.
So they separated about 2 or 3 years ago, and he moved out, but they were still, like, on good talking terms. Everything was good. Like, we would all hang out all the time. Like, we'd go to family dinners, all that. And so we didn't even know he had a girlfriend. And so back in November, he pulled me outside at my grandma's house, and he was like, I have something to tell you. I was like, okay, like, I'm expecting, like, oh, you have a girlfriend, like, something's up. He goes, I'm having a baby. I was like, what?
Gulp.
Right. And so I was like, when? He's like, in a month. So I was just like,
so technically he's been sitting on this for 8 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah. A lot.
So your parents get divorced.
No, they're separated.
Separated, I should say. Did you see this coming or
no,
not at all? This gets back to our conversation yesterday. We were saying, like, do you argue in front of your kids?
Mm-hmm.
And some are like, no, we never argue in front of the kids. And when they break up or they get separated, the kids are like, I never saw them argue one time, right?
Now, technically, you're an adult. How old are you?
I'm 20.
Okay. I'm assuming he hadn't told your mother?
He told my mom, I think, a week before me and told me, and then a week later told my brother.
All right, so we're missing a key question here. 3 years now, why haven't they gotten divorced and they're just separated?
You know, I don't know. I don't know the reasons behind that. I don't really know what led to their divorce, but...
And is mom dating other people as well? She has not.
Nothing at all.
But pops, no problem. Okay.
Right.
What was mom's reaction to it all?
I think she was a little devastated by it.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, how are you feeling about it?
I have mixed feelings about it. One, because I want to be there for my dad and support him and the baby, because the baby did nothing wrong. The baby was just brought into this earth. But also, I want to be there for my mom and be like, oh, you know, screw the baby, because...
You feel like your loyalties are split.
Right. Yes.
Remember also, use the same logic, I think, for yourself as you're using for the baby. You're an innocent bystander in this whole thing also.
Yeah, you are.
Right? Your parents got separated. It's not on you. You don't have to pick sides, and you can choose not to.
So have you met said girlfriend since?
I met her last week.
Last week.
I was supposed to meet her back in December, but it ended up not working out. So she came over to my grandparents' house and all my dad's family was there, and she was nice. We had a good talk. We hung out and she was very wanting me to accept her. Mm-hmm. And so now I feel even more bad because it's I kind of liked her, but
she's trying real
my
hard.
Mom. Yeah.
You feel obligated not to like her for
right,
your mom.
Yeah.
But your mom's not openly saying, oh, I hate her. I hate that your dad has moved on or anything that. So you're kind of assuming some of that stuff on yourself.
Right.
Uh-huh. And so I'm assuming she had the baby with her. So you got to meet your sibling.
I did. He's really cute.
Oh, man, that is a tough spot to be in.
Right.
Is it weird becoming another older sibling this late in life?
It's just weird to think if I have kids within the next 5 years, they're going to be the same age, which is weird to me. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah, because they, that means your baby brother will be a baby uncle.
Right. That throws me off just a little bit.
Baby uncle.
Yeah, baby uncle.
So at this point, do you think, you might not have even asked these questions yet to your parents, is this motivation enough for them to legally get divorced now? Does he have any plans to get married?
I think they're in the process. I don't know about marriage, but I know she's planning on moving down here sometime in the summer or fall, so...
So this was a long-distance relationship gotcha.
It's a tough one to navigate through emotionally, man, because I understand your loyalties are divided here. You don't want to show too much support for your dad because you don't want to alienate your mom and vice versa. You are in a tight spot.
Yeah.
But you can love. There doesn't have to be a team to choose.
Right.
You can love and support your mom. You can love and support your dad and the fact that you have a whole new... side, part of the family.
I think it'll just be interesting when they move down here and see how dynamics work, because my brother wants nothing to do with it for the most part.
Okay, my only advice is you don't babysit for free because your time is money. So even at those,
I've already said that.
Okay, good.
It's already been taken care of.
Just because you're related doesn't mean you don't deserve
that conversation. Had.
What's your dad's attitude been like to the whole thing? Is he kind of I understand how this may cause devastation, or I really don't?
He knows. He's not very emotional kind of guy. He doesn't really share his feelings, but he knows that everyone's going through it, and that my mom's heartbroken over it, and how it's torn between me and my brother and all that and the family. So
is the girlfriend significantly younger or
okay, by about 20 years?
Can I be nosy? Okay. Do you know how they met?
So my dad's a pilot and she was the flight attendant.
Classic romance in the sky.
Yes.
Yep.
Can we send your mom some flowers?
I think she would love that. I think she needs that right now.
This might be in some strange way the closure that your mom needs. Maybe now the divorce happens and she gets to move on, maybe.
Because he lied about it for so long about having a girlfriend. So.
Hey. There's easier ways to get closure than your ex, who's not even formally divorced, having a baby with a woman who's 20 years younger than you.
Yeah, it's too late for that kind of wisdom.
Yeah. We'll send flowers.
Listen. It's the Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
One of my favorite shows growing up was Extreme Makeover Home Edition, and now it's getting a reboot.
Was this the Move That Bus one?
Yeah, Move That Bus with Ty Pennington looking all fine. Cutting wood and stuff. I don't know. I was 8.
Wasn't he a carpenter?
He was a carpenter.
Didn't he also start on Trading Spaces?
Yeah. Oh, with what's her name? Paige Davis.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
I love that show.
Right? It was the best. So do you remember Trading Spaces?
No.
Kind of.
Okay, so you had two houses, right? They were neighbors, friends, sometimes family, whatever. And they would switch homes and they would renovate a room in the house.
Yeah.
But they didn't know what was going to happen.
And they didn't see it until they went into the house, right?
And then you have to look up on YouTube some of the worst reactions to Trading Spaces. Because one woman came in and she's like, "What is this?" It's like, you don't even know me. Why would you think I would like this? She loses her S. Like, straight up. Those were the best reactions when they hated it. And you could tell as they were doing it, the interior designer was just doing what they wanted to do and not what the homeowner wanted.
Because it's like their neighbors from down the street doing the renovation. So I would love, I wish we could do like follow-ups with them. Be like, did your friendship ever recover from the monstrosity that you did to their gaming room?
I wonder if in the contract it said, the small print said, like, look, if you think this sucks, we'll come in and we'll change it for you. Like, you've done one of these.
Well, yeah, it was different, though. It wasn't like a, it was like a legitimate makeover, but they're not going to make life easy for the homeowner.
Right.
If anything, they're going to make it more, they're not going to have that caveat in there.
It was probably, the producers probably learned a very good lesson on your house also. Never accept the application from a contractor. If there's a contractor in the home, you don't want to work on that home.
So I've got mixed feelings about this because, like, reboots, I'm like, oh, it's so boring. It's another one. But the show did so many good things for people that I'm kind of like on board with it. And it was one of like the few shows that I was allowed to watch growing up because my parents would put us to bed at like 7 and the show would come on at 8. So we got to stay up.
I feel like you grew up in the Footloose City.
The Footloose City? We weren't allowed to dance. We weren't allowed to watch anything past 8 p.m. unless it was American Idol.
The only thing you could read at night was your Bible. That was it.
SpongeBob, not allowed.
No.
One school, first grade through your senior year of high school. So I see it.
No. I went to middle school and then a different high school. And then I turned 18. My parents were like, why aren't you smoking weed? I'm like, I don't know. You told me it was bad. Anyway, so this is actually the second time it's been rebooted because the first time it did a reboot, it was hosted by Jesse Tyler Ferguson, the lovable redhead from Modern Family. And this time around, it's going to be hosted by the co-founders of the lifestyle brand, The Home Edit. Each episode's going to be the same thing, you know, like a deserving family in need of a home renovation, and then they're going to move that bus.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sure, you know, if a kid says that he loves cars, his entire room is just going to be cars everywhere.
Yeah,
it's going to be great.
Cool.
Really wholesome. Adele's home is also going through an extreme makeover. She's renovating Sylvester Stallone's former mansion. She actually bought it for $58 million, which is nearly 50% off what it was listed for.
Are you serious?
It was listed for $110 million.
What kind of home?
I cannot conceptualize that kind of money.
The market dropped so much that he had to sell it for almost half.
Or maybe he was like, it's Adele.
And she's gutting it. I wonder what it looked like inside that she felt like she had to gut it.
Yeah. I feel like it's pictures of him, statues of him, like everywhere now. Oh.
Rocky Balboa, like all over the place.
From every Rocky.
Funny you should mention that, Mo, because the only thing she kept from the house, because she's literally gutting it, she's taken off the entire second story of the home, is she left the pool. And the massive life-size Rocky Balboa statue at the end of the pool.
I knew it.
She's got the best sense of humor. Yeah. I mean,
she's
talk about
keep that.
I know her friends are going to get drunk around that pool and do unspeakable things to Rocky.
I don't know about you. I feel really weird if I was like walking around my house. I'm like, oh. That's Rocky.
Yeah,
I would feel it would feel a little haunting.
I love it.
Just a little bit. Okay, I don't know what it is about this generation, but we are so private when it comes to our relationships. Jessie J literally had a child with somebody, and she is just now hard launched who the father of her baby is. Like, I feel like my generation will like kind of lead up, like on Instagram, we'll start soft launching, like
teasing the trailer.
Yeah, it's the trailer to the relationship. So like you show their hand around a glass, and then it's you guys like hugging, but you can't see their face.
The soft launches kill me.
The
I think it's so funny.
And then if you're lucky, once you have a baby, you get to be hard launched on Instagram. That's what Jessie J did. She was celebrating Danish Father's Day for her new man's basketball player, Channon Coleman. So that is the father of her child. We love it. He got the hard launch he's won in life.
You can be like Mindy Kaling and never disclose.
She still has it?
No.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I still think it's BJ Novak.
I do too.
Okay, for more stories at thebirdshow.com, before I get sued, click eBuzz.
Listen.
It's the Burt Show.
Rebecca, did you make the changes to your dating profile yesterday? I mean, I've never even had to use these sites, thankfully, and I could tell they were bad. They were bad.
Her first one was not bad.
No, the first one was really nice, but the one with your jacked up arm?
Okay.
Wait, you look like you got a hook?
Yeah.
On the end of that thing?
You guys did point me to that one being a little strange.
What was wrong with that? It looked like a bad Kardashian Photoshop.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of double jointed, so like my arm can kind of just like move weird ways sometimes. So I thought maybe that was it.
Your arm looked like Slug and Gumby had a baby.
It did.
No,
that's
idea.
Right. You're right.
It sucks because I like that photo. It shows I'm goofy.
So Rebecca here does our social media and a whole bunch of other things around here, and she's wondering why she's not having more traction on her dating apps with her picture. So she ran some of it by us yesterday, and Lord, woman.
I mean, come on. The one with the cat on your head had the potential to be cute, but the angle was just not. It just, and the cat was blurry. Like,
and I still think you're trying to be everything to everyone, and you can't on your profiles because Rebecca's told you guys she's bisexual. So, like, guys are going to be attracted to one thing, women are going to be attracted to another. I don't know how you pull it all off in one profile.
Difficult to be so multifaceted and gorgeous.
It is.
But the cat photo, I'm really sorry, guys. It's non-negotiable and it's staying.
That was a cute one.
The one with the cat on the head? What?
No, that, we didn't like that one.
No.
No.
But the arm photo I did take off because it did look weird. I didn't
see that. Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah, that was pretty strange.
So what are the ones today we're working on?
No, we're not working on those. We're moving on to something else.
All right, because the ones you sent today are really, really great.
The one she sent today has to do with her story that she's telling us today.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about pretty privilege today.
Mm.
Something I'd like to benefit from that I'm not sure if I do. So I ran across a New York Times article on TikTok because I'm very well read.
on TikTok.
And it was talking about how studies have shown that there are certain factors that really come into place on whether or not a woman is taken seriously. And one of those biggest factors is whether or not they are wearing makeup. Mm-hmm. And even that is like very multifaceted because you can't be wearing too much makeup. Mm-hmm. You have to be wearing just enough and natural features, blah, blah, blah. But I read the article and I thought, this is perfect because I have a really great opportunity to test this out. So my apartment complex has been totally screwing me over this maintenance problem that I've had for
months.
You and
Mo live in the same place?
Honestly, we might as well. I'm not chicken for mold. I'm scared. If I get sick, that's it. That's just it for me. I don't want to know. But my fridge basically doesn't work every 2 months. Mm. It's like the wiring is like totally screwed up. The back of the freezer just frosts over. And for some reason, that just totally warms up all of the food in my fridge. I don't know why. I'm like not a scientist, whatever, but like it just makes all my food totally spoil and I can't eat anything. And I contact them about it and their fix to this problem is to send a maintenance person with a blow dryer and literally stand there for an hour.
Defrosting the freezer?
Defrosting my freezer.
Okay, MacGyver.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like acceptable or not. I don't know if that's what dudes do with that stuff or...
I have no idea. The first time I was like, okay, I guess that'll fix it. And then, of course, it happened 2 months later. Sent the guy again. He defrosted it. Happened again 2 months later. So over Memorial weekend, I noticed again it was frosting up. And I knew they're going to close Memorial Day. This food's not going to keep. It's not going to be okay by Tuesday. So I went in and set my test. That Saturday, I went in to the leasing office to talk to somebody in person. But it's important to note that I looked like an absolute swamp rat. So please refer to photo number one.
That's okay. That's what that is. Oh.
It looks like you just took off your dental headgear.
Oh, my God.
Please talk like this. Can you come fix my freezer?
I had just taken like a really long walk and it was really hot. I was sweaty. My hair was gross.
You look
I was,
a little on the clammy side.
Yeah, it was interesting. And it's really sad that the only photo I have for that reference is like a Snapchat that I sent to someone because I did not want to like see myself at that time.
It looks like a picture that you've been like cleaning your house. You knew nobody was going to see you that day. Mm-hmm. And you were working really hard on your house. You didn't put any makeup on. That's mm-hmm. fine. You got glasses on. Hair's a little janky. It's just nobody was going to see you. So that's the picture in number one.
Yes. So that's how I first approached it. I went to the leasing office. I talked to a person. I told them my problem. They said, oh, of course. We've seen this on record. We will get someone to you like immediately and we will fix this problem because I wanted a permanent fix. Guess what happened?
Nobody showed.
Nothing. Nobody showed. Mm. Nothing happened. And my food went bad by Monday. So I went back on Tuesday. But this time, I dressed up to the nines. I put on a romper. I did my hair. I put on fake eyelashes.
Wow.
Like everything.
Like and you beat that phase.
I did. I was painted.
And this was calculated.
Oh, absolutely.
You wanted to see if you'd get a yes. different reaction. Okay.
I wanted to see. And I showed up.
All because of that New York Times article you yes. read on TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. I showed up. I talked to the same guy. And he didn't even kind of register that I had been there this weekend talking about the same problem.
You look like such a different person. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I was like, did you even like write down that I had an issue and needed someone? He did not register anything. I let that go. I just asked for a permanent fix, for someone to be there. Guess what happened this time?
Somebody showed up.
Within the hour.
Whoa!
Within the hour, I had a maintenance man rewire my fridge.
People are so basic.
Not only that, they gave me $100 for the food that spoiled.
Come on.
this was makeup Rebecca?
Yes.
Dressed up Rebecca.
So not only did they defrost it, they rewired it and fixed the fridge and then paid you for the groceries as
yes,
well.
Yes, all of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So I don't know how to feel about this.
I mean, I've seen this other accounts. I didn't read on TikTok that particular article, but I have seen other women talking about it and saying the difference. One woman was talking about a friend she had who totally changed her aesthetic. She used to be like a nerdy lab rat. That's how the woman described herself. Like she was always pretty, but hair up in a messy bun, big glasses, like looks like she worked in a lab because she did. And then she changed her entire aesthetic and started dressing differently, more expensive clothes, doing makeup, hair, nails, that sort of thing. And she said the difference in the way she was treated was night and day.
By men and women?
Yes. And it's not that she was treated poorly necessarily before. It's not like people were spitting on her or being nasty, but now people hold doors open for her. She's like, I go out. Another woman's like, I changed how I dress. She's like, 3 out of 5 times I go out to eat, somebody picks up my tab. And it's all about how you dress and you're wearing makeup.
I want to do this. I want to do this theory. Okay.
I think you should.
Shut up. So don't post this video on Facebook, okay? But I think the next 2 days, the women of the birth show should get dolled up in like nice clothes, makeup, hair, and those are the and see if the comments on the Facebook videos change.
Really?
Oh,
really?
That's interesting.
If they get nicer. Hmm. Now I don't go to our Facebook anyway because it's a hot mess. But I know Rebecca monitors it, as does Cassie. I'm curious if from and not just like I'm thinking more from like a women's standpoint because the women are just as nasty as the dudes are.
I'm curious to see if your attitude on the air is different. Like, I know that if I have a meeting after and I got to put on my kiss-ass clothes, like if I'm going to go meet the boss or something like that, and I have to do the show in like a button-down, I don't feel like the relaxed person I usually am in here. But if I have a t-shirt, shorts, and these, I don't know, pants, these loose pants that I have on, I feel just differently. So I'm wondering if as women, without makeup and just coming in a sweatshirt makes you feel more comfortable if you're looser on the air than you will be if you're dressed up.
I've said that for years. Comfortable is funny. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just telling myself that way I don't have to get up 30 minutes earlier.
I'm more comfortable with makeup. I feel better and more confident. I look at it as part of a uniform putting on in the morning and like putting sort of like armor on, and it makes me feel more confident.
I wonder if confidence has anything to do with it. Like maybe you approach things a little more confidently when
you feel that way, and maybe that could play as to why they treat you differently.
All right, let's try it tomorrow morning, first half of the show. But if you guys look pretty and you suck on the radio, then you got to go and take that makeup off.
Let's go back to being ugly.
It's the Bird Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Bird Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Bird Show.